is Wafa Labedat. You are listening to the Woman Power Podcast, a subsidiary platform to the Woman Power Summit, the largest event in MENA, with the aim of empowering women and helping them achieve their absolute highest potential. Each week on the Woman Power Podcast, you will hear honest, vulnerable, authentic, real conversations from inspiring women. These women will share their experiences and stories into what it takes to build a successful business and career. The podcast will share insight and inspiration and hopefully inspire action and lead change. So today we're going to be talking about mentorship. And I know that this word gets used a lot. I know that from my experience, it seems like there is an abundance of articles about mentors. It's a buzzword right now. Everybody's trying to find a mentor, access a mentor. And it's definitely like a trendy category that's being integrated into events. And I really am mindful to ensure that this episode does not include some of the usual information you would hear anywhere else. So my intention is to focus on sharing some mentorship hacks and talking about it from a personal point of view. So what is a mentor? I think we tapped into this idea that mentors are people that we go to provide information and knowledge. Like, that's a given. I think what's interesting about finding a mentor is the fact that they usually are packed with information and knowledge, and they're really more than happy to share their experiences with people that they feel mirror themselves or mirror their personalities or have similar traits to them. I always feel great when I approach mentors and they say, Wafa, what we see in us, like, I see so much of myself in you. That's when I know, like, that's a huge validation that I've picked the right mentor for me, whether it's because of industry, whether it's because of there are people that I want to mirror and mimic. So I resonate and connect with them and I approach them. And then they're like, you know, you remind me of myself, but they don't know that that's why I even reached out to them. It's because I look at them and I see the person that I'd want to be or the traits I'd want to have. So mentors are jam-packed full of knowledge. They, especially when you are starting a business or if you want to even grow in the corporate field, this idea that they've been there, they've done a business plan, they've done budgeting, they've handled daily operations, they've had to make strategic decisions, they have emotional intelligence, they can run campaigns, they can hire and fire, they know a lot about the law, the labor law, and they can kind of link or support you with references. Mentors also have great access to a network. So even if they don't know the answer, they can connect you with somebody who does have the answer. But mentors speed up the process. They shorten your path to getting to where you want to get to or achieve. What I also like about mentors is that they really know where I can improve. And sometimes it's about having hard conversations. And they're not necessarily conversations I can have with my tribe or my colleagues or my friends or my parents. I think sometimes the people we surround ourselves with, that we invest our relationships with, have love goggles, right? So they have this filter and they look at you in the nicest way possible, or they see the best in you. And when you go to a mentor, maybe due to that emotional investment, you know, that's not there, they are then able to be honest with you and they say, listen, you need to work on this. You're too aggressive. You need to pull back. You need to understand protocol. So they can have those hard discussions with you and they're completely fine with it because you are there. You're vulnerable. You're open. And you went to them. You went to them and searched for answers, and they're going to provide you with those answers or these thoughts. Constructive criticism is really where I found the most use of going to mentors. I've presented problems to them, like, I don't know what to do about this. And they present ideas or solutions to me, which I might not always agree with, but they have always given me different insights, which I always appreciate. Mentors also help me get unstuck. So they really stimulate my personal and professional growth. The mentors that I look up to always have such a nice balance between work and personal life, and they've been there, done that. So the problems I approach them with, especially at the early parts of my career, are things that they've already surpassed, and they're able to go back to their experience and kind of extract and pull things from those experiences to be able to help me find solutions. They're also great at goal setting. They are fantastic with giving me some goals. And sometimes, I mean, I've had a mentor say to me, like, you're too hard on yourself. You've done really well. Like, just take a minute and look at what you've achieved. And it's just giving me that different perspective, a softer approach, and a completely different way of looking at things. Mentors always really encourage us to keep going. It can get really lonely if you are ambitious and if you want to get ahead. Not everybody around you is like that necessarily. So a mentor can really offer fantastic encouragement. They can be like, go for it, and you got this, or you nailed it, or, you know, that proposal I saw looks good. And they're able to really kind of show you the light at the end of the tunnel, which is amazing. They can also provide you with solutions of how to turn things around, which I love, because I think this idea of getting unstuck is normal. Like, we are stuck every day. We are stuck with challenges. We're stuck with productivity. And our mentors really can help shift our energy towards a positive space. Mentors are also soundboards. So a soundboard is somebody that you typically bounce ideas off of, and it's usually unfiltered. Some of my mentors are really idea factories, and I go to them with a problem and some solutions, but they're so fantastic at like connecting me with a different company, like, oh, this company is doing this, check this out. Or they would be like, you know what would be interesting, Wafa, if you do this. And they present some ideas to me, and I'm like, I never thought of that. And they don't necessarily want to run with those ideas. They're quite comfortable doing what they're doing, but they have ideas, and ideas are, Elizabeth Gilbert says in the book Big Magic, you know, ideas are always floating around us, and it's really up to us. Sometimes ideas latch onto us and they refuse to leave us, so then we have to see them through. Sometimes they flow out of other people into you and then to somebody else. And I love this concept of ideas flowing around us, and mentors churn ideas to us. And I think some of the mentors I've had say that we love sharing these ideas with you because we would never do them. Like, that's not something I would necessarily follow through with, but you might. So here you go. And they actually really enjoy the ideation phase, which doesn't always come easily to a lot of people. Mentors are connectors. I think I've mentioned this a lot of times. So mentors are phenomenal at like connecting us with other people. And sometimes a lot of the mentors I work with have companies with that are fully staffed, fully structured, and they can pull from those knowledge sources and be like, hey, why don't you help Afal look at this contract? And obviously those amazing career-driven people report to the mentors. So then I immediately have free access to some of their time, or I'm able to get some advice or some specialized advice on certain subjects that maybe even my mentor won't be able to solve for me. My experiences with mentors are really humbling. Sometimes everybody around us thinks we're so great, you're doing so well, and it can really get to our heads. I know that parents only want the best for us and they want to protect us. Like, that's their natural instinct. But when you go to a mentor and you're like, listen, my parent thinks I shouldn't be doing free work, or my parents think I shouldn't be doing internships, or my parents think that I'm working too hard, what do I do? And then mentors are really able to bring you back to reality and share their experience. And a lot of the times the advice I get from family is not similar to industry or industry-based advice, or advice and thoughts on people who I want to be like. So this idea of working with family is very interesting. So I work with family members, and I really seek different business owners who also work with family to see what is their experience like. Because the advice I would get from my parents or from family or from friends is very different than people on the ground. And you'll hear different schools of thought. There are some business owners who are really harsh, some of them who believe in Wasta, some of them believe in supporting them, some of them don't. And it's interesting to hear that perspective. But I enjoy getting validated for sometimes my gut instinct. So I use my gut instinct to test with mentors. Like, this is how I'm feeling. Is this wrong? Because everybody tells me that I'm wrong. That's what I'm feeling. That's what I should be doing. And mentors are fantastic at validating that. This podcast is brought to you by the Women Power Summit. The Women Power Summit is an annual event that hosts more than 2,000 guests to listen, learn, and network with more than 100 plus speakers and industry leaders. The summit creates space for growth, learning, discussion, and collaboration with the means of creating a space where women can support each other, ask questions, be curious, and be inspired. At the end of the day, mentors are kind enough to give us their time, and that's really priceless. Sometimes I find more value sitting with mentors than I do with consultants. I sometimes get straight to the point with mentors. With consultants, things can drag on while they do audits. And you can get a lot of advice over a cup of coffee or a lunch or dinner or a meeting. Even a half an hour meeting can be really invaluable to your progress. But more importantly, I really think it's everybody's responsibility. It's everybody's responsibility to get their own mentors. Please do not wait for a program to launch, for someone to call you. Like, no one's going to come and save you or connect you. You really have to figure out who are the people that you want to mentor you in the places that you need help, in the places you're weak, in the places you're lost, or in the places you're passionate about, or in the places you want to grow in. But make it your responsibility to find one mentor for yourself. Like, give yourself a time frame and just go for it. So there are different ways of getting mentors. I've gotten mentors through a lot of reading, like reading the newspaper, reading magazines, and just looking, hunting for people that I want to connect with. Instagram is great. And you're able to really connect with people through DM if you write them a very short blurb that is both professional and personal, but really highlighting what you would like to get out of it. And again, we're not going to go in and say, I would like for you to be my mentor, but can I set up a meeting? Can I set up a Zoom call? I'd love to know your thoughts on. I look up to you. I'd love to connect with you. I admire you. And this is what I need. I need help here. Would you be able to give me some time? So social media is a great place to find mentors. Looking through different applications. So there's a lot of programs now that link mentors to mentees. I'm not personally a fan, because a lot of these organizations look towards their network, compile that into a sort of directory or database. It's much harder to match it that way, because I feel like that's a limited pool, unless that's your industry. So let's, for example, imagine that a financial institution is doing a mentorship program. If I'm not interested in finance and they have a pool of investors or a pool of people in the finance industry together, then that won't benefit me, because that's not what I'm interested in. Maybe that's not what I'm weak at. Maybe that's not what I want to grow in. So just because a program exists doesn't mean it's right for you. I've much preferred going directly to the source without any middleman. However, if you feel shy or confused about the process and you are not able to get enough content online to guide you, or just by talking to different friends and family to guide you in this process, I completely understand that this would be an alternative. And mentorship platforms exist globally. You can reach out to anyone globally through multiple mentorship programs that are based on country, sector, age. There is something for everyone. So that's also a good place to go to, though I personally haven't had that experience of being matched through a program. So another way of finding a mentor is through friends of friends or friends from your tribe. So really putting it out there that you're looking for somebody in the space of fashion or business or marketing. And your friends are really able to say, I'll connect you, or your tribe will say, I'll help you. Some of the times I talk to my girlfriends about people who've mentored me, and then I find that my friends went and reached out to them, to those very same people, which is really interesting. So that means that they don't even need me to do the connecting. They went and took the initiative and they were proactive enough to reach out to those people. And they say, like, you've supported Wafa in this, you've mentored Wafa, and I'd really love to be able to have that opportunity with you and that short amount of time with you, and they've really gotten it. So I've received feedback from my own mentors to say, your friend contacted me or your colleague contacted me. And that makes me really happy, because that means that they are listening, they are learning, and their appetite for mentorship was created. How I usually approach my mentors is I combine a professional approach with a personal touch. Let me clarify. So I always love a structured, clear email. I love it when people tell me what their intentions are. I don't appreciate somebody being vague or confused, because that confuses me further. So I really want to know, what do you need? And I think that's what mentors want. What do you need? How long do you need? How can I help you? So you need to be able to answer those questions in 100, 150 words. You need to be able to explain what you need and what you do in a few sentences. And something that I've seen budding entrepreneurs do with me personally is rambling. They just ramble. They are not able to say what they want to do, how they want to do it, and what do they need from me. So I'm sitting there, 10, 15 minutes go by. There's no question has been asked of me. The person is not prepared. They're not there with a list of questions. They don't really know what I do sometimes. They know a little bit, but they haven't done the research. And it can be very frustrating for somebody who values their time to sit there and to listen to somebody not just only ramble, but not be clear about what they want. So it's answering these following questions is really important. What do you need? What do you do? How do you do it? Where are you stuck? Even if you write one or two points on a post-it, but just have some clear indication of that information, so then the person in front of you can serve you. Now, some people think they don't need any mentorship. I've met people who've never asked for help. People I work with who never ask for help, who clearly need help. And I think we're also taught not to be vulnerable in our society and in our culture. We're taught to put up a very confident, strong face. We're taught to not look weak. Some of our upbringing includes not showing that we look weak. And it's not about weakness. It's about being vulnerable, which is really different. And I've sat with people that I've felt were stuck, but they're unable to put into words and say, I need your help. Can you clarify? Can you support me with this? In your experience, what would you do? They are unable to say these sentences. So sometimes I have to read the person in front of me and I have to say, you look stuck. Is there something you want to ask me? Let's do 5 clarifying questions. So then they have to sit there and think about the questions they want to ask me. And I'm only doing that because I'm kind of guiding them into answering those questions. But if you are unable to ask for help, or if you're unable to be vulnerable, or if you're scared of rejection, there's a lot of work to be done there before you approach a mentor. Because I think that in life, you need to figure out what's important to you. If it's important to you that you have personal growth, that you get answers, that you learn, then that has to take precedence over your concerns and your worries and your fear. If you are too worried, and you want to operate from a place of fear and not being vulnerable or scared to look weak or scared of rejection, this will be really hard for you. That means you're going to be taking everything that mentor says personally. And I don't take anything personally. And even if I do, I might cry about it a little bit. I might complain about it. I might journal about it. But then I will write the 10 things I was grateful for in that experience. So I'll try to shift that mindset really quickly. So going to somebody older than you, sometimes more successful than you, can be really intimidating. I still get intimidated when I reach out to people who are super successful, and sometimes they're intimidating in their posture and how they sit on the table or the chair and how they want to wrap up the meeting. It can get really intimidating and you can get scared and you can freeze. But I think I always try to remember that once upon a time, that person used to be where I was. And I mentioned those things. I mentioned that, you know, I'm grateful that you're sitting with me, and I know that everybody growing. Like, I try to find ways to connect with the person in front of me that once upon a time they also asked for help, or they're kind enough to give me that support and help. And I can see them soften when I talk about my intention. And the intention is the most powerful thing in niyyah. It's the most powerful thing. Once you focus on that, everything else kind of comes together. So a lot of what we need to do is learn how to be vulnerable, learn how to ask questions, learn how to put ourselves in places where if we do get rejected, it's okay. If the mentor says, sorry, I don't have the time. Sorry, you're not organized. Sorry, this is not working for me. Sorry, I'm confused about what you're saying. Sorry, I can't help you. Sorry, this is not for me. It's okay. It's okay. You've tried. You'll get better. You'll find somebody else. And don't take it personally. It's not personal to you. It's never a personal attack to you. And I'm saying this thinking of the amount of budding colleagues I've come across, people I've interviewed, people who have sought my advice. I can feel them wince when they feel rejected or they're unable to take feedback or criticism. So here's the thing. If you can't take constructive criticism, if you don't like being told how you can be better, if you don't know how to take that feedback in a positive way, in whatever form it's given in, not everybody knows how to give constructive criticism in a positive way, and that might hurt you, then I wouldn't put myself out there unless you really made sure your intention was to learn and grow despite the circumstances. So there is a lot of work that you must do if this is a fear you have. Most people in our culture, I believe, have this fear of being of putting themselves out there, or this fear of being vulnerable or asking for help. Like, I don't know if that's something we're taught that it's okay to do. And I think once we do get burned, a lot of people don't try again. So I do believe that if you do want to, if this is the path for you, if you're listening to this podcast episode and you want to figure this out and you're resonating with this part of the podcast, then you need to also do some initial work on learning how to be vulnerable. So these are topics I would research and read about. Brené Brown is a fantastic author, and there's a Netflix series about vulnerability that you can tap into and you can read about. Learning how to be okay with rejection, learning how to put yourself out there despite potentially getting hurt or feeling rejected. That's some work that you might have to do before you set up your mentorship sessions. This podcast is brought to you by O'Brien Hill. O'Brien Hill is a leading communications agency focusing on public relations, event management, and marketing. It's made up of a fantastic group of creatives in the design and PR fields. The agency first came to life in 2010 as my brainchild. Our creative consulting services were in demand in the UK after our online publication Sketchbook became an overnight success. Much like a proud mama, our agency's namesake is attributed to the place of its inception, Notting Hill. It's now 10 years later and we're one of the leading communication agencies in town, and we as a team are incredibly proud to be working on this very podcast behind the scenes. Check us out on www.obionhill.com. Now, there are lots of ways to work with a mentor. I think sometimes your relationship can extend into friendship. Sometimes it doesn't, but you don't want to be assuming that your mentor is your friend and call him or her every time you have a problem or a challenge. The idea is to put all your challenges together, request a meeting. Even if it's a casual lunch date, dinner date, coffee date, or a phone call, you do want to be mindful that they have companies to run, they have different responsibilities. So the last thing you'd want to do is latch onto your mentor and overstay your welcome. Nothing turns off a mentor more than someone who misunderstands the relationship as more than that. So unless there's clear indication that you can be friends, really ensure that you play your role as the mentee and make sure that they can have enough space to play the role of mentor. So some of the things I've seen people do, which are things we should avoid, which is not part of mentorship etiquette, are assuming your mentor is your friend, being way too casual and informal with them to the point where the mentor feels that you know, he or she is not being taken seriously. Even like basic mentorship etiquette is not saying, I would like for you to be my mentor. When I go to my mentorship sessions, I don't say, this is a mentorship session. My mentorship session is starting now. These are my mentorship questions. So I seek the help that I need. And then I thank them subtly at the end for mentoring me. I put that in the email as well. I appreciate your time to guide and mentor me. So I don't label it, because I feel that this idea of labeling your mentor as, will you be my mentor, places a responsibility on the person and a commitment responsibility that they might not be able to give, which leaves them in a very awkward position. So in the future, if somebody else comes along, they'll probably be terrified if they're not ready for that kind of commitment or that long-term relationship. So always assume how I like to visit my mentors is once every few months. And if I need them and they're open to it, or if there is a follow-up discussion based on earlier sessions, I can do a monthly session. But really, even that is too much. So I only tend to go to my mentors when I need them. And I've also exhausted all other ways to learn or to problem solve. So mentorship etiquette is so key. Number one, don't be annoying. Number two, do not ramble. Number three, say what you mean and be articulate. Number four, prepare, get those questions ready. Five, follow the mentorship session structure. Six, don't latch on, don't get attached. Seven, check in with them when you need them and when you've exhausted all opportunities. So they shouldn't be your go-to person. You shouldn't have to call them every other day or every week and be like, what was that we discussed? I had an idea. Can I run this by you? So having some boundaries is important for both parties. And I think it's essential to maintaining that mentorship relationship. It's important to have multiple mentors as well, or it's essential to have multiple mentors as well, because sometimes I've seen colleagues reach out to one mentor and I'm not sure they always get the right advice from one person. So it's always best to have multiple solutions, multiple options, multiple perspectives, and then find out what works for you. Now, this doesn't mean that you take someone's session or someone's advice and you take that information to the next mentor and smear the name of the person that gave you the original advice. They might not know any better. They might be sharing what worked for them, which might not work for you. So the idea is, it's always great to turn that in your head if you're not sure about certain things, and keep talking to mentors about how to approach certain challenges you're facing. So I think the idea here is, ensure all your eggs are not in one basket. The last thing you'd want is to go down a path that's not right for you because you took and you applied something that frankly didn't suit you or didn't work for you. So have a variety or a multiple. And when you go for mentors, when you choose your mentors, make sure they're people you want to model or be like. Or if you have a mentor and you admire one aspect of their career or one aspect of their personality, make sure you reach out to people you want to emulate and not people you just like. Now, when you do gain value from spending time with a mentor, it's magnificent. You have resources, you have additional reading, sometimes you have homework, you have different perspectives on how to tackle a challenge. And most of all, you don't feel so alone. And I've sat with mentors walking in, seeing fog when it comes to a problem and leaving that room thinking, okay, I see multiple ways to solve this, or I see a path forward. So mentors are essential. Another thing that people tend to do that doesn't fall under the lines of mentorship etiquette is they get disappointed when they don't get those meetings. They get upset if they don't get those meetings. So don't be afraid of rejection. Don't take it personally. It's not personal. It's never personal. And sometimes the person you want to see is at capacity or feels they can't help you. And sometimes if you're not clear when you communicate or when you reach out to your mentor, the other party feels, again, there is this misunderstanding that they're there to help you solve all your problems. So even when I communicate via email, which is really what I do when I establish contact with any of my mentors, is give them enough information in that email to get that first meeting and to give them enough and to showcase that I'm organized enough, that I'm coming for a reason. I'm coming to not waste time. I'm coming to learn and to leave them be. And sometimes I do test out theories from or test out the ideas or solutions I'm provided by the mentor. And I get back to them and I say, by the way, I've tried these things and this worked. I tend not to also share anything negative with them. So if they weren't very helpful, if I didn't really get value from that session, I don't come back and say, I just want to let you know that, you know, this didn't work for me. And so I just make sure to share the positive only. So if I walked away with one key takeaway, I'd focus on that and I would disregard the rest. Overall, mentors have been key. I've had mentors in finance. I've had mentors in scaling up. I've had mentors that were critical to my confidence. I've had mentors who've championed me, who through our mentorship sessions got to know me and then opened up opportunities for me, which is amazing because that means I got those meetings right. I got, not only did I get what I needed in terms of information and knowledge, but they went on to further champion me and to help me accelerate in my path. Now, a handful of mentors that I've established relationships with, like we went on to become friends. And I think when that happens, it's so interesting because I get to spend time with them and establish a relationship and establish a connection with them. And I find that there's a give and take and there's an exchange, but I really value those relationships and I'm always in gratitude and I'm always, even when we're in a casual setting, I can't help but give credit where credit is due and always keep coming back to our earlier sessions. So I like to celebrate my mentor always, even if we do become friends. I do tend to value the time that they've given me, especially if they're game-changing things that I've learned that have taken me to a different level in my business. So I wish you the very best, and I really hope that you are able to use this abundance of network and knowledge that's available to you. And if you are unable to figure things out in your life, personally and professionally, I hope that you attract the right and find the right mentors for you. And I hope that when you meet them, you nail those sessions and you walk away feeling good, feeling like you learned something, feeling like you've established a relationship. And I hope that you continue to attract different mentors in different stages of your life, because the mentor that you need when you start your career is not the mentor you need at a later stage. I think our parents are always our first mentors and we always go back to our parents, but I feel it's great to have parents who mentor you, and it's also great to have different perspectives mentor you. And sometimes we need to remember our parents are from a different generation and the rules were different for them and they're different for us, and we're come from very different generations, which is not to take away from our parents' advice or guidance, because I always turn back to my mother for feedback, but I always like to communicate with people who are specialized in industries, people I want to model my career on, and I churn those ideas until I feel what's right for me or until something triggers or clicks with me. But crowdsourcing solutions is the way to progress, is the way to grow, and it's really up to us to make sure that we use everything that we can to propel ourselves forward, because we deserve the best and we deserve to be happy and we deserve to find the answers that we are in the quest to find. So if you can walk away from this podcast with an appetite to find mentors and for you to get some sort of clarity on how to approach these people you admire and to be vulnerable with them enough that you can share your challenges and be humble enough to know when to zip it and listen and sponge that in, and then knowing how to establish some boundaries so they can respect you for it, you are on the way to unlocking something that can only serve you and work for you. And I wish you the very best on your way forward. overall, I really hope you enjoyed this podcast. Mentors are fabulous. Mentors are great. It's your responsibility to find one. It's your responsibility to build a relationship with mentors. You can also find mentors at events. So I go to a lot of networking events and I scan the room when I get there. And I look for people I want to connect with. And I literally go, it's like cold calling. I go and I say hello. I introduce myself. I give them my business card. If you don't have a business card, you can share your phone number, your Instagram, and or you can ask for their business card and you can say your intention. So say, what do you do? So I'm a student and I want to do this. And I would, so state again who you are, what you're doing, state what do you need, and ask if you can connect with them. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening to an episode of the Women Power Podcast. And thank you for downloading and streaming our podcast every week. If you love what you've heard, tag us on Instagram and follow the Women Power Podcast and Women Power Summit account for more information on our next episode. Please leave a rating review wherever you get your podcast. It really helps other women discover the show. That's it from me. See you next week.